You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs. This week is jam-packed with action ranging from basketball to golf, and DraftKings has plenty of ways for you to have a front-row seat to all of the action. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more of the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion across all sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app now and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's promo code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Welcome back to the Two Stars, One Cup podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Shippy, and joining me as always is the great Craig Ludwig. Luds, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, Chip. What's new with you? Anything?
Nothing new. You know, about as same old. You know, it's just kind of like Anton Khudobin bailing this team out. You know, I'm just kind of doing the same stuff, different day. What about you? I know you've been on some trips lately. How's your life been treating you?
Yeah, we were in Florida, then we went to Denver, and now we go to Phoenix next week with our U18 team. But we got snowed into Denver, so we missed all the a lot of the excitement going on here. We didn't get in here till I don't know what it was, Tuesday or Wednesday of the apocalypse, as the Texan people approached it. So
I was about to ask.
Everybody came out of it.
I was about to ask you: was it colder in Denver or was it colder here when you were out of town? You know. Are you checking on that?
The day that I was flying out, I think it was about 6 or 7 here. It was 43 degrees in Denver.
Golly.
Yeah, I actually took a video of all the snow and everything was melting running down the street, and there was just a little stream of water up there. We actually were in Colorado. We were in Denver, then we went to Colorado Springs, and then we went back to Denver to try to catch some flights out, and it took us a couple days before we could actually get on a flight that would come back here. And then I saw on the news about a day after we got back, there was another United. There was another flight that was coming from Denver somewhere, and half the plane fell off in some place, and there were parts laying all over somebody's yard in a tree. So good thing is we missed that flight.
Well, the good news is, too, that the Dallas Stars have finally got a win. It seems like I think the last win was February the 2nd. And you know, tonight's game against the Florida Panthers, there's a lot of good things I thought I saw from the team in terms of, you know, especially early on getting on the board 57 seconds, I believe, into the game was, you know, that's always a really nice thing, but that's one thing.
I know you're telling me there are a lot of them. Okay.
Khudobin's
going to be two.
Khudobin's two. Jason Robertson continues to look really good out on the ice. You disagree with that?
Yeah. No, I don't disagree.
Okay,
yeah.
So you know that's like three, or is that 2.5 or
2.5? I'd say.
Okay, yeah. All right. The appearance of Miro Heiskanen and John Klingberg at the back of the power play, I thought looked really good. I was going to get your thoughts on that. I don't know if you noticed that they changed them out on the back instead of having that fourth forward out there.
Well, I think that as hot as they were to come out of the gate this year, everything just was going right, and then he hit a little dry spell, which they were going to. I mean, we even said it early on. There's no way they're going to keep up that pace. You know, and then things don't work as well. I don't think you use that standard at the beginning of the year because they knew that was not going to continue. But then there were some things that weren't going the way that they wanted it to. And it's what all teams do. When things aren't going the way you want it to, especially when you don't have a lot of runway, and with this season, you know, the way it's going, 56 games, you don't really have a lot of time to tinker around with things, especially now. Dallas really has no time to
play around. They've got 43 games in the next 76 days.
I did some math. Okay. And I'm sure
I don't like Matt. So I'm glad you handled that.
The three people that are probably watching can fact check this, but
I believe two right now.
Two? Okay. Well,
we got 52.
Oh, 52.
So we're going places. We're going places. What's going on? It's
Uber at 4 o'clock. And...
It's the 4 o'clock start.
Yeah. So you're saying they're not in bed yet? Because I'm getting ready to go out. I'm hoping this is an abbreviated show. It's Wednesday night. It's hump day. Got to get out of here. Anyway, so
it is hump day.
The way I look at it.
Get out of here too.
Yeah, all you're going to do is turn around and go to bed. You're probably laying in your bed right now, like a couple of the other times, which is disgusting to even think about. Anyway,
That was one episode.
Two, four, I've moved past your bed. So what are we on? What'd you say it was? 43 games or so in 75 days?
43 games in the next 76 days, yeah.
You know what? When you look at it, I was doing this. I was driving down to the rink today in my head, so I had my shoes and socks off and everything as much as I could stay on the road. But I had it. If you think about 3 games in 5 days, 14 times of those, 14 times you're going to play approximately 3 games in 5 days. Uh-huh. So if you're the coaching staff, if you're the management, and again, you brought up guys like Robertson and then there's Camano and all the young guys, for the most part, you're not out in front. You're probably going to be fighting. Well, who knows? But you may be fighting for that third or fourth spot, let's just say, for a playoff spot. So you don't usually lean on and depend on your younger players. And so you're going to lean on your veterans, the Jamie Benns and Pavelskis and Komos and, guys like that, Klingberg, Sekera. So you're going to lean on all those guys. And when you're playing, every other day and a half or day and three quarters or whatever, you have to be worried about fatigue. And you have to be worried about tired injuries. And when you've got guys that are, you've got Klingberg, you've got Haskin, and I don't consider him an older guy, obviously, but Jamie and Pavelski. I think Pavelski's like leading the forwards in time on ice. So you got a 36-year-old that is playing 20-plus minutes a night here. So they're going to have to find their rest, which leads to they need days off when you do get a day off. And so if things are going well, awesome. And if there's things that need to be tweaked, you don't really have a lot of practice time because you can't expect those guys to go on the ice in between that one day and you're playing back-to-back games somewhere along the way. So it'll be interesting to see how the coaching staff handles it. And that leads us right into the guy that I don't know if he stole them the game. I think he stole the game today. It was Hugh Dobin.
Yeah.
I think it was important that they won this game today because now – and I don't look at – the last two nights against Florida as those easy games that we talked about, if a goaltender gets 30, 35 plus shots, well, this was 50 plus and 40 plus tonight.
Yeah.
So there's a workload there. And so it's nice that they got the 2 points out of this one tonight, because if I was going to guess, I would think that maybe Ottinger gets an opportunity, coming back right away now, because the last thing you want is to have, and your goaltender's not just sitting there making one save and it goes off to the side. He's making one and then two and sometimes three, and he's going from one side of the ice to the other side of the ice. So there's a lot of scrambling around. There's a lot of work that went into that game tonight. So I think he, as much as he probably wants to play the next game, I think, when you look at the big picture, which is a small picture this year, he made the best thing for him is maybe to get some rest.
Yeah, and you mentioned it, and Rick Bonus mentioned it after the last game, just, talking about how many games they have in such a – like a smaller window of time. And he said that it looks like it's got injuries written all over it, and that's it's exactly what you just said with it's, just the fatigue injuries where it's, hey, you pull a muscle here, pull a muscle there. And they're, they're still looking forward to the return of Alexander Radulov. I believe next week is what Bonus said would be at the earliest. So we see Rad's back. Mm-hmm. So maybe halfway through this next upcoming homestand, as the NHL has rescheduled the 4 postponed games, that, we'd lost due to the Snowmageddon or the Alaska, I don't know if you saw people calling it around here. No. Although I did see a note that it was one day it was like colder here than it was in Anchorage, Alaska. And I did not sign up for that when I decided I was going to live in Dallas, Texas. Let's see. I want to talk about this from the other night against the Florida Panthers, and it maybe didn't go as well as one would have hoped, or I'm sure as he would have hoped, but John Klingberg getting in his first fight, with Patrick Hornquist. And you saw tonight, it was after one of Dobie's saves, Klingberg came over and pushed Hornquist down to the ice, like, pretty emphatically. Was that Klingberg said he could feel that the team needed kind of that sort of spark. First of all, what did you think of Klingberg's first fight? And is that a budding little rivalry there? Is there some history between those two? They've just come up with in the last game.
Probably a lot of people that may debate the calling it a fight. I mean, his gloves were off and he threw a couple punches. So from Klinger, I give him a ton of credit because that's not really in his portfolio. But that's a guy that, you know, I talked about this last time we spoke, is, you know, with guys when they get letters on their chests, and sometimes you've got to do things outside your character and outside your comfort zone. I shouldn't say character, because I think John Klingberg has become a very important part of that team, obviously on the ice, but in the locker room also. And I think there's a lot of young guys that look up to him, the way that he plays and things that he does. And so sometimes you have to do those things. And that's the camaraderie that you have, you know, with a group of 22, 23 guys. And mm-hmm. it goes a long way. I give him credit for sticking up. These guys, this is what happens when you play in this kind of a format now, when you're playing teams that you usually only see once on the road and once at home. You're mm-hmm. seeing them 2-3 times in a row and 7-8 times over the course of the year. And so there's these new rivalries. And not only that, they're going to be battling for the remainder of this season and jockeying for positions as far as where they're going to be heading into the playoffs. So there's a lot on the line early and often this year. Every game becomes important. Every 2 points become important, because it's not those games that when you play, and usually if you play against, say, the New York Rangers during the regular season, it always hurts when you don't get a couple points, but it doesn't really come back to haunt you later. Whereas these kind of games in this 56-game schedule, and these are the teams that you're playing every night to fight for 4 spots. So mm-hmm. they become just that much more important.
In previous seasons, and, you know, we've talked about this, just, hey, you're only 4 points behind a certain team, and you're kind of worried about that because typically you're not only playing your divisional opponents. Does that change, obviously, this season, because it's a little bit easier to make up that ground? When you look at the standings, if you see, you know, they're obviously like 6 points out of 4th place, you know, down the stretch, are you more, I guess, confident or more, you know, comfortable with them in that scenario than in a regular NHL season? Because, you know, on those nights, typically they're picking up 1 or 2 points potentially against another team that's outside of your division.
Yeah, I mean, I think what really makes it important is there's a couple other teams here that are trying to bring themselves into the dance. I mean, who expected Chicago to be up and doing what they're doing right now?
Yeah.
They've probably been the surprise of the division. And Columbus is right in that mix too. So, you know, I think there's a couple teams. I think when we expected it to be Chicago, Nashville, and Detroit, and then Columbus would kind of be hanging around there. Now Chicago has thrown themselves in there. And so that just puts the importance on, you know, those games also. Obviously, when you've got the Tampa Bays and the Floridas, Carolina, you know that those are the teams that you're kind of battling for position, or at least you hope you are. You're battling for position all year long, and every time you play those games, it's important. And then it comes down to, well, who's going to take the 2 points away from Nashville, and who's going to take them away from Detroit? And if they're taking them, you have to make sure you're taking them. So all these games become important every single night. And, you know, it's going to come down. I mean, it could come down to how many extra points do you get? How many of those ties do you actually get into where you don't get the zeros? I mean, I don't know mm-hmm. if it's always going to be about collecting 2 points, but you at least have to collect 1 to keep yourself in that conversation. Because when I look at, you know, the schedule the way it is, and, you know, and again, you don't always want to look too far forward. It's hard. Well, we can do that. They can't really. They got to look at that next game. But they've got their last 7 games of the year. I think it's 7. They're all on the road. And they've got Chicago the last 2 games of the regular season. So, you know, it could come down to those 2 games. I mean, it could come down to that, and maybe Florida drops or Carolina drops or whoever it is, or maybe Columbus is hanging around the mix and Columbus all of a sudden ends up sitting in 4th place with 2 to 3 weeks to go in the regular season, and you don't play any times against them. And so, you know, every single game becomes important every single night now in this format that they have.
I don't know if you saw the comments also from Bonus after last game, but he said that the rookies looked overwhelmed in that first game against Florida, and that the veterans just looked sloppy and that like they weren't on their game. I'm paraphrasing there, but that's basically what he said. And he called out basically the entire team. If you're in that locker room, what is that? I mean, is that something that, I mean, we've talked before about how, you know, you got to be player friendly and things like that, but do the players take it, you know, some type of way because their coach is calling them out like that? Or do you think they looked at it and like, coach, you're right, we sucked that game?
This is a club that went to the Stanley Cup finals last year. They knew it. At the end of the second period, when they scurried into the locker room and they crawled off the ice at the end of the second period, and Hudobin faced, what was it, 20, 30 shots or something?
Yeah, 29 shots, 29 shots in the second, yeah.
It's kind of hard to walk into that locker room. We've all been there, maybe not that many, and not at that not that drastically, but it's hard to look your goaltender in the eye. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, you know, first off, he's probably staring at the floor if he's not laying on the floor with water bottles and towels and everything on him trying to cool down. But it's hard to look those guys in the eye when you know that you did absolutely nothing for him and he's leaving everything on the line. You still got another 20 minutes out there to play. So yeah. I was kind of worried about that second period tonight because it seemed like it was kind of setting up for that kind of thing. And it's another thing that I wonder, it's just curiosity, is because Dallas has had, you know, all these little breaks and pauses and start and stop for 7-8 days, they come out and look pretty good or better than they do in the second period, in the first period. They come out and they got a little bit of jump, then all of a sudden it seems to tail off and the other team can kind of push, and next thing you know, they're putting up another 15, 18 shots in a period. And I just wonder how much of that, because there's a total difference in being in practice shape and in game shape. And they can go ahead and practice all they want. And they had a ton of practices lately. It was funny because you came into this season, everybody was complaining about not enough practice time and how do we work on our systems and get the penalty killing, get your lines all straightened out. And because you got to all kind of be on the same page. Next thing you know, that's all they're doing is practicing. But unfortunately, when you're in practice, you don't go the same against each other. Your goalies don't see the same kind of traffic. You don't get into the same kind of battle drills in the corners in front of the nets of defensemen. And for the forward, they don't have to fight through as much to get to the front of the net to get those second and third opportunities. So I just wonder, now we're going to, you know, they're going to start to get into game shape, and you hope they're getting into game shape and they're not getting just tired. So because it just seems like they play the first 20 minutes and that next 20 that comes up, they're kind of back on their heels a little bit. And it's not because they're not mentally ready to go. I truly don't believe that's the case. I just wonder if their legs are where they would normally be if they played, you know, 15, 20 games on a normal pace like everybody else.
And if you're looking to get your beard game right, Luds, I've got the right beard men's hair care product for you. It's called Ish Beard Works. They make lightly scented, handcrafted, all-natural men's grooming products for the man who wants to look good without smelling like a pine tree farted in his face. And guess what? They donate a portion of the profits to charities that support children in foster care and awaiting adoption. So not only are you getting your beard game right, you're helping out a kid or some children in need as well. So go to ishbeardworks.com. Ish Beardworks, that's ISCH Beardworks.com, and check everything that they have to take your beard game and hygiene to the next level. Ish Beardworks is the proud official sponsor of this official Dallas Stars Focus podcast and official creator of the baddest ass beards in all of DFW. It's the Ish, so can you. And Luds, I want real quick before I'm going to get off of the Dallas Stars for just a second, because I was surprised by this news with Claude Julien being relieved of his duties today and Montreal. It didn't seem like I haven't really followed the Montreal Canadiens. I know you, as a, you know, former Canadian, you might have some more insight on this. Do you understand what was going on there, why they decided to relieve him of his duties?
Well, I actually do a almost like a weekly show there with one of my former teammates, and Chris Nyland does a show out of Montreal. And so you know what went behind Berge's thought, Mark Berge and the GM, I told those guys a few days ago when I did it, and this was when things were a little bit better than they were today or yesterday. You know, a lot of teams, well, you'll say things about certain teams and you'll say that they take on the personality of their head coach, the way players play the game and things like that. And people have heard that before. And I'd said about Mark Bergevin is that they took on the personality of their general manager from the standpoint of how he dresses. And Burge is a real sharp dresser. You know, he's got them French suits and the Montreal suits. And his shoes, his socks match his shoes, and his pants match the socks and shoes. And then he gets the pocket square that ties everything together that goes with the tie. And I thought what he did in Montreal is, and what it was, what I meant by that is he found a way to complement the guys that have been there for a long time by bringing in Anderson. They shipped Domi out, and they brought in a couple other players that fit into that team really well on lines, at D partners. They brought in a guy, Sherratt, that I liked a lot when he was in Ottawa. So D partners kind of complement each other. Their lines now and line mates, they kind of complement each other. And they got a real good start to the season. They were battling back and forth to Toronto. Toronto's got a better, I'd say, more skilled team. Carey Price has not played the way that Carey Price is capable of playing for Montreal. But I believe that Montreal, the club that he put together, is built for the playoffs. And I think if you get into the playoffs and you're playing the same team every other night for 14 days, I think that they can probably push Toronto out of it or Edmonton out of it. That's now if they get there. But to answer your question, I think there's a lot of high hopes. And I think there was a lot of positivity around there. And all of a sudden, things started to spiral. And even though it's only, 16, 18 games or whatever they played, and they pulled the trigger on Claude, on Julia, he didn't want it to get away from him. And I think what he wanted, he needed to change the atmosphere that was going on in the room. Shea Weber had come out, the captain there, had come out and said that there was a smell in the locker room a couple of days ago. Things just weren't right. Mm-hmm. And he took it upon himself to say, I got to change this thing because something's not right here. And so I think Bergevin kept watching that team kind of not compete and lose games. And, they haven't done well in their last 8 to 10 games. And even though, and it's not an 82 game schedule. And so if you look at this being 18 games or so, it's about the halfway point of a regular season. And so I think he looked at it like that. And I think that his rope is probably getting a little short too. Berge has been there for 5-6 years. He's been accused of not doing enough. And I think this summer his piggy bank was pretty big, did a good job stocking things up and some dollars and brought in some players that were important players that turned the tempo and the team around. And I think as he just didn't want it to linger too long. And I think he wanted to bring in a fresh voice. I'm surprised he got rid of Kirk Muller, who played here and been around for a long, long time. I think he's kind of like Rick Bonus. He's one of those great assistant coaches that is a great buffer between the players and the head coach. So I just think he didn't want to wait any longer. And it's something's just not right. And it may be the message. And sometimes you lose some players in a locker room and they're not listening to what's coming out of the coach's office. And I think he doesn't want this to get away from him. I think he feels like he's got a team. Now, if they still be hanging around in second place or so, but they're kind of tinkering in fourth or fifth place right now. And I think he wanted to get the train back on the track.
And, just to kind of go off of what you're talking about, I can relate this now to the Stars, because after the last game, Rick Bonus came out and said, hey, look, our penalty kill was 3-for-3 or their power play was 0-for-3, whichever way you want to say it. But don't let it fool you. Our penalty kill was not great tonight. It looked like the penalty kill was a lot better tonight. Did you see that same sort of improvement out of the PK unit tonight from the Dallas Stars?
I thought a couple of the most important things that happened in the game tonight, obviously, is Klinger scoring in the first minute of the game. I mean, anytime you can score the first goal in a game is obviously huge. When you look at the analytics of typically wins hockey games, there's a better chance of winning a game when you score the first goal. Obviously, Hudobin was a huge key again, what he did. And I thought the last penalty kill. It was 2-0, and it was the older guys. It was, Como. Right off that face-off, there was a face-off there that actually Dallas lost, but because of Como, we kind of dove out, got a stick on the puck, and it goes out of the zone. Typically, now with teams, they win a draw on a power play in the offensive zone. The first thing they want to do is get a shot right away. You want to get people chasing back to the net, so they find a way to get that first D-D-D-D, the winger, get the puck up right away and create a scramble and get it on another opportunity. And it took that away. And I thought he did that little bit of extra effort, that little dive, got the puck out, and there was a little bit of a scramble. It ended up putting it down, and then they never really got on track after that. So I felt that the penalty kill, Jason Dickinson, did a job. He really always does a really good job on penalty kill. I think he did. Fox, those kind of guys. I think that was a big key to the hockey game, having a 2-0 lead. Because then they ultimately ended up pulling their goaltender. They had a 6-on-4. They survived that. Obviously, Hudobin had to make a couple saves in that sequence also. So those are the three things for me. Khudobin stood out for me the most, obviously. But that last 2 minutes, or 3 minutes, I guess it was, that last penalty kill I thought was huge. Not to even allow him to cut that lead in half and start to put the pressure back on and be a 2-1 hockey game with a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go.
And it seemed tonight that the Stars blocked a lot more shots. You know, it seemed like they were just in the way of a lot of really good scoring opportunities. And, you know, you mentioned it earlier, during that second period, it was starting to look like the Panthers were going to repeat their second period from a couple nights ago and just totally bombard Khudobin and you know, and the Dallas Stars. But they were kind of able to weather that storm. But I felt like overall all night I saw more bodies getting in the way of pucks and more block shots and things like that. Real active sticks, too, when they were trying to go across the, you know, across the offensive zone and things like that. It just looked to me like this team was more focused and, I guess, more – I don't want to say they were, like, hustling harder, but it just looked like they were more active. I guess active would be the right word I'm looking for.
I think what they did, I think the best way to describe it is they played more like it was a playoff game. And that, you know, they weren't happy. There was a bigger commitment to do all the little things and the things you don't necessarily like to do. I thought they came out, they were physical. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you cross that line a little bit and, you know, you can give the team a little bit of momentum by putting them on the power play, which happened a couple times. But I thought they came out and they said, you know what, we didn't do what we were supposed to the last time we played these guys, and we're going to come out and we're going to try to take the momentum, take the game and control the game. And then they were able to weather the storm in the second period, so to speak, when they started to generate some more opportunities. And, you know, to me, there was the other difference in the game, I think, for a lot of it is when they ended up, Dallas ended up getting shots at in Florida's end, it was kind of like one and done. And when you notice when the Florida were getting shots on the Stars goaltender, Dobie had to make one and then two, mm-hmm. and he had to look around a lot of traffic. There was another big save that he made, and it was a shot that came from Hudobin's left, and he had a kind of threw a bunch of traffic and he threw a shoulder into it. So Khudobin was Khudobin tonight, and the pucks were, and all that was, again, it's not technique. It's just a guy that doesn't quit on anything. Mm-hmm. And he finds a way to battle his way through it. And I think that these guys felt like they let him down in the first game that they played there, as far as an effort in front of them. And I think that they were determined not to let that happen tonight. And then it started to get away again a little bit there in the second. And I think you saw him dig down and kind of reach out and try to dig down a little bit and make sure they're going to get the win for their goaltender that saved their butts a couple days earlier.
I remember you're watching the Two Stars, One Cup podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Shippy, and joining me, as always, is Craig Ludwig at Taz3311 on Twitter.